Well, good morning, East Swamp. I don't think you're slackers, all right? You still might not get any bread and milk, but you're not slackers, all right? Maybe you're the planners, and you got it yesterday because you looked at the weather report. So you said, I can sleep in today and not have to deal with that. But I'm one of those weird people. I like snow. And so for those of you, I had a couple of people come up to me after the morning service and said, so glad for you standing up for us, Scott, because there's others of us who like the snow and enjoy the snow, and I'm looking forward to the 5 to 8 inches we're getting tonight and what it might do tomorrow. And sorry, families, that your kids might be home again with you tomorrow. That may be a challenge. I understand that. There's been a lot of that recently. I can hear the little ones next door at our neighbor's house that's 6 inches from our house. So I understand that and the challenge that can be sometimes, but it's great to be with you here again today. And my name is Scott Jackson. If you don't know me, I'm part of the preaching team here at East Swamp. My wife and I lead a ministry called Thrive Leadership Foundation, where we come alongside of pastors and wives and those in ministry leadership roles and encourage them and strengthen them and support them in ways that they need. And so it's a privilege to be here and to be able to share with you this morning and to look into God's Word. We're talking about being in harmony and in relationships, and we're going to talk this morning about what's most important to God. And we're going to look at that this morning, and as I shared with the early service, I remember my grandmother and my mother and my father. As I'd be sitting in church with them and as a little youngster, and they all sang different parts of the songs that we were singing and worshiping at that point in time. And this harmony that would come out as my dad would sing bass and my mother was a soprano and my grandmother was an alto, and just hearing the different harmonies taking place. They're all different. They were all different individuals. And yet as we sing in harmony, as they sang in harmony, it all blended together and created an even more beautiful sound than just one of them singing their part alone. And that's really what God wants to do in our lives. That's what he wants to do in our lives with him, as we sing in harmony with him, as we live our lives in harmony with him, as we walk with him each and every day. He wants to live so close to us and us so close to him that he brings more beauty out of our lives each and every day. He reverberates through our life each and every day. And then he wants that to carry on into the other relationships that we have in this world. So we're going to talk about five priorities in our relationships this morning. And I want to begin with just looking at what really is a relationship. Have you thought about that word relationship recently? Relationship can be more than just human beings. It can be about concepts and objects that are connected together in certain ways. You know, if you like math, there's a certain way that the numbers and the symbols connect together, and they're in relationship with each other in order to get the right product, the right sum, the right outcome of the equation. If you're someone that enjoys languages and English, or and you realize how the different words work together in harmony with one another in the sentence structure and how you use different words together so that they make sense as we communicate with them. It's the same way in our relationships. They need to be working in harmony and in connection together in all of our relationships. But it begins with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But it begins with our priorities. What's really priority in your life? Have you thought about what's really priority in your life? I can do one thing very simply. I won't do this to you. You can do it to me. You can look at my credit card statement. You can look at my checkbook. You can look at my calendar that's on my phone and my schedule and things along that. You can look how I spend my time, my talents, and my gifts, my giftedness. And you can tell what's priority in my life. You can look how I spend those things in different ways, and that will show you what is really most prominent in my life. Because priorities are all about what's really most important to us. What do we give the most attention to? What is competing in our life? What are some of those things that are competing for attention in our lives? What is really priority in your life? What do you really value the most? And as you think about that this morning, I want you to put that in contrast and in connection with, how does that line up with God's word and what God has to say about it? Because if we're to live in harmony like we're talking about, then how I live my life needs to line up with what God's word has to say about that. And I need to live in a connected way in my life. And I need to have those things connecting together. I remember my wife when we had been married about 2 years, a little over 2 years at the time, going on our third year. And I was had become a full-time staff person at the church where we were ministering at the time. I was a youth pastor and led outreach at the church. And we were pregnant with our first child. It was January of 1988. I remember this like it was yesterday, even though that's 31 years ago now. And as we were expecting our first child, and Lynn was about 5 months pregnant, and I'm not going to pretend I understand everything that goes on for a woman when she's pregnant. There's a lot of things that go on that we as guys just will never get a hold of, we'll never grasp, but that's okay. But Lynn sat me down. Guys, you ever have one of those sit-down meetings with your wife? My wife is sitting right here, so I'm not telling anything out of school. She knows the story well. So we sat down. She said, hey, we need to talk, all right? And so you better be listening, right, guys? You better be listening. And so she sat down and she said, I just want to know one thing. She goes, when we have this child, Brad was going to be born, due date was in the middle of May. She goes, when we have this child, when are you going to be around? And I said, well, I'm around all the time. I said, what do you mean, when am I going to be around? She goes, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. You know, we have that little debate going on that, guys, we lose. If she says you're not around, you're not around. You understand that? You need to take a hard look at it. So I took a hard look at it, and I started looking at my schedule, and I realized that I was out a minimum of 6 nights a week doing ministry. Minimum. Some weeks it was every week I was out doing ministry, but I'm serving Jesus, right, folks? You know, we can spiritualize this whole thing. Well, I'm serving Jesus, you know, and we're doing this for the Lord. And but you know what? My priorities were out of whack. And I needed someone that was gracious like my wife to sit me down and say, hey, you know what? This isn't going to work. And this isn't best. And I had a friend that started speaking into my life about the priorities in my life and challenging me on the priorities in my life and getting things reworked in my life so that we can live in relationship and in harmony and so that we can honor God with the way that we live our lives, honor God the way that we walk each and every day. But it begins by being in harmony and having the priorities that God sees as priority in our lives. Now, here at East Swamp, we talk a lot about the priorities that God has. What does God say is priority? What does God say is most important? Is it rules or relationships? What's he say is most important? No, it's not the rules. So often that's what people say about, oh, all God thinks about is the rules and keeping us in line. No, it's about the relationship. God's all about the relationship. And how did Jesus define that? He said, what's most important to God? He said, love the Lord your God with what? Okay, you haven't convinced me you know that at all. I mean, does this snow coming really have you that depressed? Because you sound depressed now this morning. All right? So let's try that again. Love the Lord your God with all your... Okay, now let's say it like we have it, living it with all of our heart. All right? Can we try this one more time? Love the Lord your God with all your... All right, that's a little bit better. You beat out the early service at least. So you know what? You're more awake here this morning. So that's priority to God, right? He summed up everything by saying, love God with the totality of your being, with everything that you have. And then what's the second one? We know that here well too, because that's our two priority things that we talk about here at East Swamp all the time. It's love your... Let's try that one more time. That was better. Let's try it again. Love your... And who are your closest neighbor? You're probably sitting next to them this morning. Okay? These are God's priorities, right? This is what God says are the most important things in our lives. So I want you to look at five. I want to look at five priorities quickly this morning with you. They come out of Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. We'll begin at verse 18 to begin with, and then we'll back up a little bit as we get towards the end of our time together today. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 6:18, that makes it easy for you to remember, 5:18 to 6:18, we have the priorities that God gives us in life. And there's five priorities that God lists out here. And the first one, you're going to say, oh, that's a duh moment, Scott, like, like we didn't know that. No, the first priority really is your relationship with God. The question is, how connected are we to Jesus in our lives each and every day? Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, which leads to all sorts of ruin, is the easiest way to say that. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be connected with God's Spirit in your life. Now, sometimes we don't know what to do with that, do we? What's it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What's it mean to be connected to the Spirit? Galatians, end of Galatians, says to be in tune and walk in tune with the Spirit. Various places, and we're going to talk about it towards the end of the sermon. What's it really mean to be filled by the Spirit of God? It's a command that's given to us. And if God commands us to do something, he also tells us how to make it happen. So what's that look like for us, and what's that relationship with Jesus look like? We sang earlier, didn't we, about who God says I am. Who did we say that God says we are? We're a child, right? Children need to know what their father's talking about, don't we? We need to listen to our dads. We need to listen to our Heavenly Father. We need to understand how our Father thinks. We need to understand how our Father lives. We need to understand how our Father speaks. And he's given us his word. That's the great thing about it, you know? We don't have to guess. There's not a lot of guesswork in this. He's written. He took the time to write it down. I don't know if you get amazed at God's word. I get amazed. I love the word of God, but I get amazed when I think about that God took the time. God of the universe, he created everything that we see around us, took the time to put his mind and his heart in printed form for you and for me so that we can understand exactly who he is. And he wrote it with 40 different authors over 3 different continents, 3 different languages over a period of about 1,500 to 2,000 years. And it all works together and it all feeds together and it all shows us how much God loves us and how he wants us to step into the lives of people in the world around us and share with them about how much he loves them. So God gives us the opportunity to know what it means to live and to walk and to be filled with the Spirit of God in our lives. And so we'll conclude with that today, but he also gives us another little hint about that, and Jesus said it this way in John 15:5. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know what apart means? Apart means disconnected. When you're disconnected from God, you and I, Jesus says this, not Scott Jackson. Jesus says, when you and I are disconnected from Jesus, we can do nothing. And nothing means nothing. You see, the significant relationship that you and I have in our lives, and if we're going to live in harmony in all these other relationships, it begins and ends with our relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins and ends with being so connected to Jesus that we understand how he lived his life. We understand how he sought the Father's face, how he listened to the Father, how as Jesus himself said, I don't do anything that the Father doesn't tell me to do, and I join everything that I see the Father doing. He was so connected with his Father that he would live and do exactly what the Father told him to do. That's why he would go off by himself alone and get alone. Just he and God, Scripture tells us. That was his pattern. That was his habit, to get alone with God, to listen to God, so that he knew what his Heavenly Father wanted him to do and how he wanted him to live his life each and every day. This is vital to all of our other relationships in our lives. If we're going to live in harmony in this world, if we're going to live in harmony in the relationships that God has given to us, this is key. If you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear this. Now, I've already confessed that I love snow, right? The other thing that goes along with that is I love Christmas. And I love Christmas lights. I can't go out of a store after Christmas is over without a pack of really cheap lights. I've probably told you that here many, many times because I preach here the Sunday after Christmas, usually for the last 10 years. So you've heard how I've gotten my new set of lights at a really discounted rate. But you know what? You ever pull those lights out in the fall and you're around Thanksgiving, you're getting those lights out and, you know, you plug them in before you put them up, whether you're putting them on a tree or putting them on the outside of your house. And, you know, you put them away and they worked. And then it's like, what happens in that plastic tub that I put all my lights in that when I get them out the next fall, they don't work anymore? Or half the string lights. You know, and the crazy thing about it, you know, I'm one of these fix-it guys, so it's like if it was the front half of the string that worked, I would cut it in half and just forget about the rest of the string, you know? But it's always the second half of the string that works. You know, what's the deal with that? I just look and go like, ah, why do these lights? So I had a great idea. I finally took my Christmas lights down. I'll confess, I keep them up long. We don't put hearts on them for Valentine's, but we could have. Took the last ones were my icicle lights that hang on my gutters, and they were all working. They were beautiful. I love the icicle lights, and so Lynn and I were taking them down about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and I had this grandiose idea that, you know what, I'm going to plug, I had them all wrapped up in the basement. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to plug them in before I put them in that bin. Do you know that half of them didn't work? And I'm sitting there going like, what? And they worked when they were on the house. All I did was take them off the house. Now they don't work. I hate throwing out Christmas lights, but I do it now because they're so cheap. But this was beyond me. So I went to our favorite friend Google. And I said, what's wrong with my lights? Why do they keep doing this? Someone's got to have an answer out there. Well, here's this little cheap tester you can get for like $4.95 at Harbor Freight. That you don't even have to touch it. You can just go down it. And it beeps anytime there's current in the string. So you just go along and you start. All these lights aren't lighting, but you just start touching them. Yep, there's voltage there. There's voltage there. There's voltage there. You go on down. And all of a sudden you hit one that there's no voltage. It doesn't beep. And you go, ah. And in my brain, I'm jumping ahead of the video. None of you guys do that, I know. You don't try to figure out the end before it gets there. My brain, I'm going like, ah, that's the one that's bad. And they go, no. It's the previous one. Is the bad one that you have to take out and replace. For some reason, when it burned out, the little shunt in there didn't hit and make connection. It's the previous one to this one here that's not working right. Our relationship with Jesus Christ and staying closely connected to Him is the previous thing to all the rest of our relationships functioning the way they're supposed to function. If you want the light of Jesus Christ to be flowing through your relationships as we look at them this morning, it all hinges on, are you connected with Jesus? Because apart from Him, you can do nothing. So what does Paul do for us here in this passage? He walks us through, I'm going to give you the next four priorities. We're going to just bounce through them pretty quick here this morning. The next priority is marriage. It's your relationship with your spouse. You know the passage as well. I begin it in verse 21, Ephesians 5:21. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I know women, you struggle with the word submit. I get that. That's why I'd like to include this verse with it. This is talking to all of us. And it's talking about we're submitting to one another. Why are we doing this? Out of reverence for Jesus Christ. It's not to please the other person. It's not to make things work right. It's out of submission to Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, how He has paid the penalty for us, how He has rescued us, how he goes to the mat for us, how, as we sang this morning, He'll walk in the fire with us. He walks on the sea. He speaks and He calms the storms of life. He walks with us through all of life. But it all goes back to Him. And if you and I aren't submitting to one another out of our reverence, and that's really a word for fear, out of our fear, our respect, and our reverence for Jesus Christ, the rest of our relationships just won't work the way God wants them to work. God wants our relationships to work. God wants our marriages to work. God wants our marriages to reflect Jesus Christ and His love for His church, as we sang about this morning, that we want to present ourselves as a bride to Jesus Christ. We sang about that. The reality is we can't do that if we're not submitting to Jesus Christ. and if it's not all about him. And that's where it all begins. And then when it says about, however, each one of us, the last verse, each one of us must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. There's no way, apart from the gospel working in my life, the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the understanding that God gives me, there's no way I can love my wife the way God wants me to love her unless I understand how much God's loved me and I'm walking in close relationship with him. And there's no way that my wife can respect me or your wife can respect you, because we're not respectable some of the times, right, guys? We do some stupid things sometimes. We're not always wise in the way that we make decisions. And it says, wives, respect your husbands. They can't respect us because of who we are. They can respect us because of who Jesus Christ is. And that's what he's challenging them to do. And that's how we live in harmony as husbands and wife. What do you think marriage is for anyhow? Do you ever think about that? What's the purpose of marriage? Here's one of the purposes of marriage. It's the school for perfecting our love for God and others. You hear that? It's our school for perfecting our love for God and for others. That's what marriage is all about. You know, it's not what Disney promotes, folks. It's not happily ever after. You've heard me say it many times. Marriage is work. It is hard work. But if you are not staying connected with Jesus Christ in your life, if he isn't top priority in your life, if you aren't seeking him first in your life and saying, Jesus, I need you to help me live life in this marriage, you know what? It's not going to work. It impinges upon that relationship being corrected with Jesus Christ so that we can then have the marriage that God's called us to be. That doesn't mean you have a great marriage or a perfect marriage. I'm not saying that. But you will love and respect one another the way God calls you to love and respect one another, because you're depending on Jesus Christ to make that happen, not yourself. I can't love Lynn the way she needs to be loved. And she's a wonderful lady. But I just can't do it, because I'm too self-centered. And I need Jesus Christ to continue to remind me, it's not about you, Scott, even though I think it's about me sometimes. I know none of you struggle with thinking life is about you, but I struggle with that, right? Yeah, we struggle. It's all about us sometimes. Why aren't you paying attention to me? Why aren't you listening to me? Why aren't you? It's all about me. But when I keep right with Jesus, then it becomes all about Jesus. It doesn't become all about Lynn. It doesn't become all about your spouse. It becomes about Jesus flowing through your life into that relationship. Third priority in your life is your children. Children and parents. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment given with a promise that it may go well with you and may live long on the earth. Then it says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of mankind, right? No, training and instruction of the Lord. You see, here again, it comes back to, it's all about the Lord. It's all about what God's commanded us. It's all about how God's promised us. It's all about how God wants to work through our life. But it comes down to us as we walk with Jesus, then we can be the spouse we need to be. Then we can be the parent or the child that we need to be. That's our third priority. Fourth priority is found in verses 5 to 9 of Ephesians chapter 6. In the text there, it says how masters are to be, how slaves are to treat their masters. And then it goes on to say about how masters are to treat their slaves. And I love what it says about here. It says, slaves, obey your earthly master with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. It's not about your boss. It's about Jesus. And we need to realize that that relationship with Jesus makes all the other lights on the string work in the priorities of our lives. What's it say about the masters or the owners, the employer? It says, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. It's all about Jesus. It's all about keeping this priority straight in our lives each and every day. And if we don't keep this straight, let me tell you what. Some of you out there are working 24/7. Some of you out there, your work is your priority. And you can see that in your life. I don't have to tell you that. You know it. I've sat many a times or stood next to the bed of someone dying. I've yet to have anyone in that situation said to me, man, I just wish I would have spent more time at the office. I wish I would have spent more time out in the job. Wish I would have spent more time with my kids, my wife, my family. those relate more time with God. I'm going to meet God shortly face to face, and I feel like I really don't know him. Man, we need to be knowing God in such a way. We need to be so close with Jesus in such a way that he's flowing through our lives each and every day. And then it flows into these other relationships. Then you can be the spouse that God wants you to be. Then you can be the parent or the son or daughter that God wants you to be. Then you can be the employee or the employer that God wants you to be. And lastly, we find that what we typically know is the armor of God. And our fifth priority in life, and I'm going to make a challenging statement on this, is ministry. The armor of God is all about ministry in Ephesians 6 to 10. Finally, it says, Paul gets to it. He uses that word finally. He says, finally then, you're ready to go minister in the world. But if you don't have your relationships right here, let me tell you what, you don't have God's message to go into the world. God wants your relationships going right here so that when we step into the world, they say, how do you deal with a boss like that? How do you step into your spouse's world and love or respect them the way you're loving? I don't get that. And we get the opportunity to tell them about what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. That's where ministry is all about, where we can step into the lives of other people that are outside of these four priorities here and say, hey, let me tell you what this is all about. You see, the struggle is, and the struggle comes for guys like me who have been in what we call full-time ministry. It's what I've done most of my life is full-time ministry. The struggle is we get number five and number one confused. And ministry, and what we do ministry-wise, takes precedent over my relationship with God. That's why we do the ministry called Thrive Leadership Foundation that we do, is because there's so many guys in ministry that have lost connection with who Jesus really is in their lives. Oh, they're in the Word. Oh, they're praying. Oh, they're doing all those things. But they have lost connection with who Jesus really is and how he wants to live through them. You see, so often we get into the whole idea, and we can do this whether you're paid in ministry or whether you're volunteering in ministry. We can all get in this, is that we put ministry on this higher pedestal above everything else in our lives. It's not, folks. It's not. We need to realize that serving God in that way is fifth priority in the rank that we're talking about here this morning. Many a family has been lost because someone has committed himself too much to ministry. I was talking to my son recently. I was speaking at his church, and he said to me, as I shared some of these concepts, he said, Dad, I see that with guys here in our church. He's an elder in his church. He said, I see that with guys in our church that, man, they're just all about stuff in their church, but, man, they don't spend any time with their wife or they don't spend any time with their kids. And he goes, it's crazy. I said, it really is. You need to fire them. You know, even if they're volunteers, fire them until they get their priorities straight. Because you know what? You and I can never minister in the world if our other priorities aren't in line. It's just like that string of Christmas lights. Until I get the one before the one, get it fixed, get it straightened out, get my eyes fixed on Jesus and remain fixed on Jesus, the rest of the string really doesn't work the way it's supposed to work. You know, I can shake those lights and they'll blink on and off sometimes. You've done that. Oh, I got them. Oh, they stop. Oh, I got them on. I have one string. I shake it every year and then I wrap it on my banister because it works. Take it off and it starts blinking on. Oh, I'll shake it next year and get that one. I know that string is a blinky string. It's got something in it that's not working right. I just shake it and put it on, you know. But you know what? In our lives, we don't need to be shaking and putting it on and hoping it works. We need to be staying connected with Jesus in our lives each and every day. I want to come back to what I talked to earlier, and that's the whole idea of our relationship with God and what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to begin, and I'm going to look at verses 15 to 20 as we wrap this up this morning. And it's very simply this. It says, don't be drunk with alcohol that leads to all sorts of ruin in our lives. I won't take the time, but I don't need to take the time, I don't think. When someone is intoxicated with some other substance, you know what that looks like. You know, someone that's had too much alcohol, you know, the state troopers will pull them over on the road, and what do they ask them to do? Can you walk this straight line? You see, because alcohol, when you're drunk with alcohol, it controls the way you walk in your life. It also controls the way you speak. Things come out of people's mouths, and sometimes it can be filthy, and sometimes it can be weird, come out of people's mouths when they're intoxicated. You know that. You've been around it for the most part. I'm not explaining anything to you that is foreign to most of us here this morning. And it also controls the way people think. Sometimes they think they're invincible. You know, I remember the whole commercial a number of years ago where someone who was high on drugs, you know, they say it's like jumping into that empty swimming pool. You know, it confuses the way that you think. You don't think right. You don't walk right. You don't talk right. That's the same that it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it says it right here in this passage. Look at verse, if you have, it's not going to be on the screen. It's a longer passage. It begins in verse 15. It says, then be very careful then how you live, or some translations say how you walk. It's the way, how do you live your life in this world? What's your walk look like? And it says, don't be unwise, but be wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So it begins with saying, look, you need to be very careful how you walk your life, how you live your life in this world. And if you're filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and it's an ongoingness in our lives, I don't know if ongoingness is a word, but I'm using it. It's an ongoingness in our lives. It's continually ongoing. It's a command, and it needs to continually happen in our lives as we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, as we stay connected with Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul says in Galatians, the end of Galatians 5, he says, now, you know, stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. Keep walking with the Holy Spirit. Live in the Holy Spirit. That's how we need to live our lives each and every day. We need to be careful how we walk. It means there's a choice there. We need to walk as wise, not as unwise. So what does your walk look like? If people would look at your life, if people would look at your walk, what does it look like? Secondly, it says in verse 17, it says, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand or think about what the Lord's will is. It's something that we can do. We can think. It's how we think. So when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is filling us, you know what it does? It not only changes the way that we walk and live in our lives, it also changes the way that we think about it. Scripture tells us that as we're in the Word, Romans 12:1 tells us that as we're in the Word, that it changes the way we think. It transforms our minds. That's what the Holy Spirit has given to us for, to transform the way that we think. And then the last thing it says there, jump down to verse 19, it says speaking to one another. It doesn't say singing to one another. So please understand what it says here. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. It's the idea that your speech has encouraging words to it. We sing the music that we sang here this morning that they led us in, the worship team led us in this morning, and it's uplifting, it's encouraging, it moves us forward. It gets us excited about what God is doing in our lives because it reminds us of who we are and what God is doing and how he's at work. That's what music does, but we're to speak these encouraging type words into other people's lives. Speak encouraging words into other people's lives. It goes on to say, sing and make music in your heart. Doesn't say out loud, because some of you say, man, you don't want to hear me sing. I know some of you sit there and say, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Can you carry a tune in your heart? That means you have a joyful heart. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Can you have a joyful heart? Do you like to be around people who have a joyful heart? It's great to be around those kind of people, isn't it? It's great to be around people that speak encouraging words into our lives. And then Paul concludes, he says, and always give thanks to the Lord, to God, the Father of everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you speak with thankfulness on your lips? You see, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, if we're staying in connection, not apart from Jesus, but we're staying connected to Jesus the vine. He flows out of our lives in these ways. And so the way that we walk in our lives, the way that we talk in our lives, the way that we think in our lives flows into everything else and every other relationship in our life. So how could people look at your life now and think, what does Scott think about marriage and his wife? How does Scott talk about marriage and his wife? How does Scott think about marriage and his wife? How do you think about your kids? How do you talk about your kids? How do you live with your kids? How do you think about your boss or your employees? How do you talk to your boss or your employees? How do you think about your boss and employees? How do you walk and live? What kind of a job do you do? How do you encourage them? And then as we go out into ministry, it's the same thing. It's the way that we walk, it's the way that we think, and it's the way that we talk that influences everything around us as we live our lives each day. If we're going to live in harmony in this world, if we're going to allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform our life, and then it'll transform our relationships, then it'll transform our communities. Because you know what? We need people walking in this world that ooze Jesus out everywhere they go. We need people who think Jesus thoughts everywhere they go. We need people who speak Jesus-type thoughts. That means you speak encouraging words. That means you have encouraging thoughts and you've got a joyful heart. That means you're someone who is thankful for what you do have, not for what you don't have. And then as we move into life, that impacts everything that we do. So often in life, we get these priorities mixed up. A lot of times today, one of the big issues we deal with today is the fact that children have become number one in the home. It's called child-centered parenting. Oh, you may not call it that, but you know what? Everything revolves around the kids. You know that. You know who you are that do that. You know who you are? Every one of us. Because at times, we make them priority in our lives. That need not be. If it's priority over your marriage is going to be really struggling. If it's priority over your time with God, everything else is going to be really struggling in your life. You're not going to be the worker you need to be. You're not going to be the neighbor you need to be in the world in which God has placed us. You see, it all hinges on beginning and ending with Jesus Christ in our lives and how Jesus wants to work and influence every other relationship in our world. Because I can't be the parent. I can't be the husband. I can't be the worker or the boss, or the person in ministry that I need to be, apart from Jesus Christ working through Scott Jackson. And it's the same for you. So what do we do with all this? Where is your relationship with Jesus today? I'm not talking about, well, I have a quiet time. Or are you really listening to God? Oftentimes in our quiet times, our time alone with God, or our devotional time, we spend more time talking and reading than we do listening and being still and hearing that still, quiet voice where God wants to speak to our hearts. You know what? Try some silence with God and just listen to his still, quiet voice as he wants to speak to your heart. Let him step into your world. Let him begin to change the way you think, because you know what? We all get off track with that. Change the way you speak. We can all have tongues that aren't thankful, that aren't uplifting, that are critical, that aren't joyful, but are just whining all the time about stuff in our lives. But let God begin to change your priorities. Get him in line with what he says here in his word. Let me tell you what, it's a constant thing that you need to do. It was 31 years ago when Lynn and I sat down and had that conversation. Shortly after that, I was given these five priorities by a friend of mine who spoke into my life. And you know what? I come back to them on a regular basis to say, you know what, Scott, are you out of line somewhere? What's your priorities look like in your life? Don't feel bad. Oh, man, don't feel bad about it. It's not why we're talking about this morning. I want you to grow in it. Because when you live this way, it's exciting. To watch what God does and how God works in your life, it becomes something that's mind-boggling. Because God is at work. Will it be perfect? No, because we're not perfect. That's called heaven. We'll get there someday. This is about the reality right here and now. If we're going to be people in harmony with other people in this world in which God has placed us, it all begins with walking close to Jesus. If you're married, walking close to your spouse. If you have children, parents, addressing those issues and walking close in that way. And then we get to our jobs. And then we get to our ministry. You get those priorities in those right lines, let me tell you what. You're going to see God do some amazing things in your life. Will everybody understand you? No. So accept that right now. People will even criticize you for having these kind of priorities, but God never will. And God's our dad, and we're his kids, and he wants us to walk in tune with him. Let's let Jesus light the string of our life so that we can shine truly for him in all the relationships that he puts us in. Let's pray. Jesus, we sang earlier that you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Father, we talk about how you calm the seas. That Jesus spoke and he calmed the seas. He walked on the water. He walked in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He stood by people all throughout Scripture. But all those people, sometimes their priorities weren't in the right place. But you were gracious, you were compassionate, you were loving. Stepped into their lives and you helped them rethink it. Even like you helped Peter rethink it when he denied you. And yet you said, okay, Peter, do you love me? And if you love me, lead on. Father, this church that we've just this letter's been written to, you write in the book of Revelation that they really look good as a church. They were doing all the right things. They were defending against evil and against satanic attack and against cults. And they were doing the work that you called them to do in that city. But the reality is the end of Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, but they lost their first love. They were out of touch and out of connection with Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us for getting out of connection with your son. Help us to stay connected with him every day. As we go forth from here today, Father, help us to take a hard look at our own lives. And say, hey, what's one thing I need to do differently? What's one relationship I need to get in a right priority so that the rest of my relationships are impacted the right way? So their kids are seeing a healthy marriage and a healthy walk with Jesus. And they go, wow, that's what it's all about, because that's the best legacy we can give our kids. They see a healthy marriage and a healthy relationship with Jesus. Father, impact our lives. Impact the way that we do our jobs, the way that we treat people that work for us. Father, help us to love well the people that you put in our path each day as we minister to the broken, the hurting, who need the healing of your son Jesus. Father, don't allow us to be the same after being here today. Change us before we walk out those doors so that we are walking, so that we are thinking, and so that we are speaking or talking the way you want us to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. It's in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. All God's people said, amen. Great to be with you today, folks. Have a great day in the Lord. Have fun in that snow tonight.